of God. So this section really starts with kind of an amazing turn of phrase. And that's what happens when you do it outside. So in a really amazing turn of phrase, and the amazing turn of phrase that I love is this, charge them before God. Timothy, charge your people before God. The people that you're leading, charge them before God to do this. Charge them before God to live a holy life. Charge them before God to turn from iniquity. Charge them before God not to quarrel. And really, this is the essence of preaching, right? This is profound, because this is the essence of preaching in a lot of ways, to charge people before God to follow God's ways, to believe in the truth, to repent and believe the gospel. And what greater adventure, what greater reason for life, what greater purpose is there than that, than to follow the charge of God? And so that's what we're going to do this morning. That's what I'm going to do this morning, is I'm going to charge you before God. See, when we come together and we listen to the Word of God preached, when we listen to the Word of God rightly handled, and I pray that the Lord would help me to rightly handle it, that we are not just hearing a pump-me-up speech, a speech that makes you feel good. You're not just hearing a self-help speech. You're not just hearing something that that Steve guy, he had some good ideas for how I should live my life, but, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll take some, maybe I won't, and definitely don't have to take all my ideas. But you're hearing more than that. When you hear a sermon where God's Word is rightly handled, it's not just a human endeavor, but you are actually being charged before God to do these things and follow these things and believe these things. So, I charge you before God, as you listen, where I rightly handle the Word, that these are things that God would have you do. We're going to talk about spreading this morning. About spreading things and what we are spreading. And this week I've done a lot of spreading. You might not be able to see behind me, but we spread a bunch of topsoil on our yard today. Actually, we worked on that today, and so we spread a bunch of it. We spread it to even out the bumps, to fill in the low places, and to make it nice and smooth. And I was up at the church this week, and I was working with Steve on the community garden, which, by the way, is coming together beautifully. And if you want to go up and take a look, you should. I would encourage you to go up and take a look. And if you have anybody who wants to be part of it, including you, you should get in contact with Steve as well, and he'll get that all set up for you. But I want to talk about spreading. And so what we did is up at the community garden is there were areas of a plot and then areas between the plot. And in between the plot, we scraped out all the good dirt. We moved it over to another place where the dirt wasn't great. And then we put down bark mulch, right? We put down bark mulch. And the reason why we put down bark mulch is we spread it out so it would stop the weeds from growing, right? It would inhibit the weed growth. And we took the good dirt and we put it over and we mixed it in with where the sandy dirt was, right? And so we spread out one thing to stop bad stuff from growing and spreading. And then we took some good stuff, we mixed it in so it would become better. And then I spread this topsoil at my place to even out and smooth out the low places. And so we're going to talk this morning about spreading. And Paul talks to Timothy about what's spreading in the church in Ephesus. And what's spreading in the church of Ephesus is slander. Well, not necessarily slander. And this quarreling, untruths, and controversies. That's what's spreading in the church in Ephesus is those three things. Untruths, quarreling, and controversies. And Timothy is charged by Paul, and he's charged before God, instead, not to spread those things, but to spread truth and to spread hope and to spread the gospel. And today I'm going to charge you before God to do the same. And I'm going to ask you a question. What are you spreading in your life? What is your life spreading? Are you spreading untruths? Are you spreading quarrels? Are you spreading controversies? Or are you spreading truth and hope and the gospel? What are you spreading? Paul talks about spreading truth, and he says the way to spread truth is by rightly handling the Word of God. And the picture here, the word picture in the Greek, is really about making a straight row. Right? Rightly handling the Word of God is making a straight row or a straight line. Taking the Word of God and handling it in a straight line, in a straight way, not swerving to the left, not swerving to the right, but making straight rows. So we don't want to twist the Word of God. We don't want to swerve from the Word of God. You don't want to step this way or that way from the Word of God. We want to go straight. We want to rightly handle it. And Paul actually calls out two guys. He says, you don't want to swerve like Hymenaeus or Philetus. And he names these two guys. He says, these two guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, have swerved from the truth. And you know, friends, there's sometimes where I'll be preaching and I'll name false teachers by name. Right? And I have some people come to me and they say, well, you really shouldn't use names. You really shouldn't call out people by name. And I'll point to this passage and say, well, Paul did it. Paul did it. And why did he do it? He did it to protect his people. He said, don't listen to these guys. They're teaching untruths. And the specific untruth that they're teaching is that they taught that the resurrection has already taken place. So they've taught that the resurrection has already taken place, and therefore they deny the bodily resurrection. So what they're saying is this is a spiritual resurrection. This is a resurrection not of the body, but just of the spirit. And see, there's some truth to that, right? There's a little bit of truth to that. And the truth is that we are resurrected in spirit. We're made new. We're brought to life. But that doesn't mean we don't look forward to a bodily resurrection, because we do. We look forward to a bodily resurrection. And we want to spread the truth. We don't want to swerve to the left or right. We want to go straight. Because if we don't have truth, what do we have? And when we spread truth, it inhibits the lies. It inhibits the growth of lies. Like when we spread the bark mulch in the place to stop the weeds from getting through. We spread the word of truth, and we spread it rightly, and we spread it in a straight line, and we use it properly, and we know it, and we use it to inhibit untruth. So not only do we not spread untruth, but we actually spread truth, and it inhibits the spread of lies. Just like the bark mulch inhibits the spread and the growth of weeds. And secondly, we're to spread hope. We're to spread hope. And the hope is this. Paul says, God knows who are His. God knows who are His. This is our hope for today. This is our hope for the future. That God knows that we are His, that we belong to Him. He knows your name, friends. He knows who you are. Isn't that great news? God knows who are His. And then he says that those who are His, those who claim the name of Christ, will turn from iniquity. That there's kind of two parts to this hope. That first of all, that God knows who are His, that He loves us and He knows us and He's intimately involved in our lives, that He knows who are His. And secondly, that those who are His will turn away from iniquity and will live a holy life. And friends, I'm going to say this boldly, that a life lived free from iniquity is a better life than one that's steeped in sin. It just is. So this is our hope. And see, but there's also a warning mixed in here, because what Paul quotes here, this God knows who are His, is a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy. And it's part of a story about a rebellion by a guy or a group led by a guy named Korah. And it's called Korah's Rebellion. The kind of section is about Korah's Rebellion. And he's saying that, you know, God knows who are His. And the warning is that God also knows who are not His. That those who rebel against Jesus, those who rebel against the Word of God, those who grumble, those who gripe. See, in the story in Korah, they're grumbling and they're griping against Moses and Aaron. They're saying, why'd you bring us out here? We could have died in Egypt, but now we're going to die here. Why'd you bring us out here, Moses? And they grumbled and they griped at him. And so Moses brought him before him, and God opened up the earth, and they were swallowed whole. And then 250 other people were consumed by fire. And see, so there's a warning here that God knows who are His, and those who are His will turn away from iniquity, but those who aren't His are still under the wrath of God. If you claim the name of Christ, turn from iniquity. Turn from grumbling. Turn from quarreling. And turn to God. Be ready for every good work. Be cleansed by God. It talks about these different vessels, right? Those who are cleansed are ready for good work. So how are we cleansed? We're cleansed by the blood of Christ. We sang that. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're cleansed by the blood of Christ. You're not too dirty. You're not too far. You can be cleansed by the blood of Christ. You turn to God now. Turn to God and repent of your sins. Turn to God and ask for forgiveness. And He is good and He is just and He is gracious and He will forgive you. And you will be His. And then turn from iniquity and live a holy life. Again, by the blood of Christ. And Paul says we're to flee youthful passions. That doesn't mean you need to flee the things that you used to like when you were a kid. What it means is you flee those things that kind of are part of youth, like impatience and immaturity and contentiousness. We're to flee those things. And we're to pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. Flee those things that pull us away from God and pursue those things that bring us closer to God. And so we spread the hope of God. We spread the hope of God's knowledge and His assurance. We live a holy life, so we bring hope. And that's like mixing the good soil. It's like taking the good soil and we take it over and we mix it with the sandy soil. We go and we mix it with the world. We go to a world that has no hope, all no ultimate hope. And we take it and we give hope. We spread hope. And as we mix that hope in there, as we begin to live a holy life and the holiness kind of starts to fill our life, then everything starts to turn. Our wants and our desires start to turn towards holiness. And it gives us bright hope for the future. It gives us holy lives that produce fruit. And lastly, we're to spread the gospel. We're not to quarrel. Paul says, quarreling about words does no good and it ruins the hearers and not just the quarrelers. And this is really interesting, that it ruins the hearers of the quarrel. That it ruins those who listen. This is about witness to the world. He says that irreverent babble spreads like gangrene and it leads people into all ungodliness. And gangrene is bad. What do you do with gangrene? You cut it off. You get rid of it or else it's going to spread and take over the whole limb. And see, when you became a member of the church as part of our membership covenant, we have this bit on gossip, that you were to stop gossip in its tracks. You were to not be a gossip, but you're also to stop it when you hear it. And you think, well, why just that one sin? Why just the sin about gossip? Because gossip is like gangrene. And it spreads and it creates disunity. And it leads people into all ungodliness. And actually in the NIV it says that you should not be part of ignorant, foolish, and stupid controversies. Those are harsh words. We charge you before God, Paul's saying. Don't be part of ignorant, foolish, and stupid controversies because they just breed quarrels. This is not to say not to argue ever, right? Paul says that somebody should be able to teach and correct and do this with other people. He says, because maybe those who are captured by the snare of the devil will be granted repentance. And this snare is the snare of quarreling. That they're quarreling. And this is the snare that the devil traps us. And when we're so invested in quarreling about stupid controversies and stupid things, we're not spreading the gospel. We're not spreading peace. We're not spreading hope. And we're too worried about these other things. We're too worried about fighting about masks or fighting about song styles or fighting about what the pastor wears on Sunday or fighting about the time we do church or the type of carpet in the church or fighting about what the government does and who we should vote for. And the devil snares us and he pulls us away from what we should be doing, the grand adventure that we should be following. So I'm going to finish up here because it feels like I'm going to get hit by a storm in just a minute. When we spread the gospel, when we speak up for the right things, we are freeing people from the devil's snare. We are fighting the war against evil, the most epic war there is. And so I charge you before God, spread truth, spread hope, spread the gospel. Now this is a high calling, this is a lofty charge, and you are going to fail. You're going to. But that doesn't mean when you fail, you just throw it all away. This is too hard. I'm not doing this anymore. This is far too hard. No, no. When you fail, you get up and you look to God and you ask for mercy and He grants it. Don't settle for a low bar. Don't settle for just sliding through life trying to get by. Live for this high calling, this grand adventure, this epic battle, this heroic quest of fighting against evil, of good versus evil. Of righteousness against iniquity. What else would you rather live for? What greater calling is there than to live for God? Because as you live for God, you will impact the world around you. As you take responsibility for your own life, as you turn your own life towards the Almighty, it will impact the world around you, because you will spread love and you will spread hope and you will spread the gospel. And that's what God would have us spread, the only holy God who has saved you, who has redeemed you, and then who charges you to live your life in that way. Now, if I can find my mouse, we're going to sing once more. May God bless this word.